Hey everybody, welcome to another episode of Classes of Mail. My name is Alan Gigax, and I am here with world-class running mate, Michael Brazemley, running for president of Branch 2502. And we are in the thick of our election campaign, and man, things are not okay. So, we just got our ballot. Well, first of all, say hello, Michael.
Hi, everyone.
All right. Yeah, there you go. All right, good enough. So we got our ballots sent to our house, and we opted for mail-in ballots at our branch. That's the way we've done it as far back as I can recall. And it's a pretty straightforward process that is covered in the branch. I got the book right here because it keeps coming up. The NALC regulations governing branch election procedures. And we've already talked about some errors that have been made already by our branch. Like when they made the announcement in our branch newsletter, they put it on page 5, down in the corner, as opposed to putting it where it says it must be, and they use the word must, that it has to be on the front page in big letters. That's 5.11.C in that book. And then, in that announcement, they must mention it if the position of branch officer makes you a delegate to the various conventions. That is a must, and that is in 5.23. And that was not as part of the announcement. So what does that mean when it's finally time to do delegates? Because it wasn't announced. What does must mean? And then we get this one. So we've been trying to just manage our campaign the best we can and just win, you know, and then whatever happens, happens. But now, we get the envelopes to our homes, and they have the ballot inside, and they have the little envelope that says secret ballot, and you stuff your ballot in there, and then you have the return envelope. And I am going to go ahead and just turn to 14.2.D. Here we go. It reads, 14.2, at least 20 days before the pre-announced election date, the election committee must mail first class to all eligible members at each member's last known home address. And then there's a list of all the things that must be in this envelope, including D, a prepaid business reply or stamped envelope addressed to the election committee at a post office box with a space for the member's signature. So, these envelopes that we got to our house, Michael, what was missing on that envelope?
The first class bulk is a stamp.
Yeah, the stamp, right. Yeah. The stamp to send this back was missing. Yeah. And so it's so basic. This thing, if you just open this book and look at it, there it is right there. It's really clear and it says
okay, can
must.
You read the part again?
Yeah.
I just want to, there's one part I think that's still missing.
Okay. Well, I'll go through A, B, C, and D. These are all the things
Just read that part again.
Okay.
Just read that part
again. A prepaid business reply or stamped envelope addressed to the election committee.
Okay.
Yeah, go ahead.
Election committee.
Yeah. At a post office box with a space for... Okay. Oh, I know exactly what you're getting at.
Okay. During the election nomination time...
Yeah, the meeting.
And, of course, our current incumbent president asked for who wants to run for election committee. And, to go back in again, as Ken, who is our trustee currently, who was a former vice president of our branch, and he went for treasurer and got it out of acclamation, so he got the position.
Nobody ran
against him. But he is on Paul's ticket. Now that he won by acclamation, and his wife is running as the trustee, he took his name out of that ticket. And so now he's a treasurer, okay? And so when the meeting happened for election committee, and everybody rose, they got
their hand.
Raised their hands, and Ken was one of them, and Paul picked Ken. Amongst about six others, okay? And so I had one of my CCAs.
So he was nominated to be the chairperson of the election.
I was getting there.
Okay, all right.
So one of my CCAs who got the steward position out of acclamation, the same thing, I asked her to run also. She raised her hand.
For a member of the election
committee. For a member of the election committee. Now, this. So in that meeting, Paul goes, oh, I'm going to pick you, Ken, as the chairman.
There you go.
Huh, I wonder how that easily picked. I thought it was voted.
No, I believe that is his right. To name the chairperson. I believe that is okay. Proprietors. Yeah.
You know that he's going to choose him.
Yeah.
Because he's on Paul's ticket.
Sure.
Okay. But then now that there's a new ticket come out, Paul, somehow Ken's name is missing.
Yeah, isn't that something?
Yeah, but maybe because Ken's wife is on the ticket. Okay.
All right.
But either way.
The person who has to check his work as the treasurer.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, his wife will be his trustee. So now, wait a minute.
But here's the thing.
Okay.
Didn't you read that it has to be election committee and not a committee chairman?
Yeah, and so that's where we're fortunate because we have this committee that has a bunch of people. I think it's like 10 people.
It was quite a bit.
It was quite a few people.
Yeah.
And so the good news is all the stuff that's in here is supposed to be done by the election committee, not just by the chairperson. You know, the chairperson like directs it and makes decisions with their advice or whatever is the spokesperson, but luckily we have a whole committee that is responsible for all this stuff, right?
But I thought it was, but it seems like everything is done by Ken only.
So wait a minute. Now,
I asked my CCA who raised her hand to be in the election committee,
right, part of the
so
committee.
That she was called once to make sure that they had her phone number, but she never went to any meetings of any kind. So how does that work?
That doesn't
not even
like
a phone call
to me.
No.
Yeah. Yeah. So that's interesting. And so when this improprieties happen, now we've got this error, and it's not being done by committee apparently. So these errors. Here's the funny thing about these errors. We have a lackluster announcement. You know, maybe that falls in some gray area of the rules. Maybe it doesn't. I don't know. But one thing it certainly does is hold down the democratic process. You know, the more you hide that announcement, the less likely people are going to run. The less likely people know that election is coming.
So some of the choices, like whatever the election committee chooses to what to do for this election, one of the choices they did was that they chose a printing company to send out our ballots. But from what I gather from my CCA who raised her hand, that they never actually had a meeting to see if they would use this company. So that was obviously then chosen by Ken to use this printing company who made an error of not putting stamp on the return envelope.
Well,
that's what Ken says.
Yeah, that's the thing, right? And we don't have a way to see what actually went wrong because you know if they were going to put stamps on everything, there's going to be a fee. Associated mm-hmm. with it, but that's going to be an extra $1,500 or something like that. That's quite an oversight.
Mm-hmm.
That is a hell of an oversight.
Now, here's the thing. You know, everybody might think like, hey, who cares? Everybody has stamps. You can just put a stamp on it and send it in, all right? Well, you know what?
No.
You know what? When I got me to big attention is that one of the CCAs came up to me. He's like, you know, I've never mailed anything in my life. How do I put this to send that in the mail? I'm like, you have to buy a stamp and put it on there. What stamp? Like, you work in the post office. I'm like,
right.
I'm like, yeah, but I'm a CCA. I just started a few months ago.
Right.
He does not know how to mail things through the post office.
Dude, the reality is younger people don't do that.
Okay.
Younger people don't mail things.
Now, before the ballot, I told him, all you got to do is fill out your ballot, put it in an envelope, and send it.
Right.
Well, now guess what?
Now
I have to tell them you got to buy a stamp and put it on there.
Yeah, you have to add this other step. And so what does that effect what effect does that have? It holds down turnout. It's just one more thing that is a barrier to people getting their votes in. And who does that benefit, Michael?
Who knows how to use the stamps and sending in the mail more than anybody else?
Old people.
Maybe
retirees
would be the best way to say it. Okay.
And they overwhelmingly favor the incumbent.
I'm sorry. How many people are running with Paul's team?
Oh, dude, like 2/3
on Ken's ticket?
Yeah, 2/3 of them are retirees.
I think it's more like 80%. 75% of them are retirees.
Yeah.
So who does it benefit?
Right. And okay. of course, the retirees tend to favor the incumbent anyway. Mm-hmm. And so again, we have this series of mistakes that it's wild how the mistakes seem to keep favoring the incumbent.
Mm-hmm.
So now with this, this is an issue. This is a problem. Mm-hmm. So we have two tickets running against the incumbent ticket, and the other ticket has already filed their complaint, or they're setting off a letter or something. Go ahead.
So I talked to the other group that's running against Paul.
Right.
And they were angry too. But at first, they didn't know why that was a problem.
Uh-huh.
And then after I talked to them, and then they had phone calls supposedly saying that, hey, how do I mail this? They got the same phone call like saying, how do I mail this? And they're like, we got to put a stamp on it now. But then they realize, oh, maybe this stamp should have been there in the first place.
Yeah, that's right.
Okay? So they figured out that that is a problem too for them.
Yeah, there is a reason that the word must is in this NALC regulations governing branch elections.
Because obviously this was a problem before.
Yeah, that's right. And dude, just add it to the list. And that's... So now we're going to have to file our own letter saying, hey, there's this impropriety, and, you know, list all these things that are going on. And none of this has to happen. Like, that's why this fucking book exists, is so that these kind of things don't happen. And that's why there's a committee, so that even if one person doesn't know, there's checks to it. Go ahead.
Well, if that book exists, I don't think they are reading it.
Dude. They don't seem to be.
Because if they were reading it, they would know that.
Yeah. Yeah.
All these things.
Dude, there's even this really nice checklist on the back.
Right.
To make sure that you do everything, you know, what to
and
do.
And where's this book from?
This is from the NALC.
Oh.
This is published by the NALC. There's even a nice letter from Vince Sombrato at the front. And, dude, yeah.
Hmm.
Oh, this one has Vince Sombrato at the front. The one... The PDF version that I have has a letter from Rolando at the front. But either way, these are the rules. And yeah, it's pretty basic. All right, so that's that. That's problem number one. The problem number one, which is a multifold problem. Then we've got the smear campaign. When the politics start to get a little bit dirty and the decided topic at the last steward training... The one right before the election was what, Michael?
Well, when a grievance that didn't go through step B in our favor, they decided to talk about me and our executive vice president. Like, yeah. They were basically, but more the main words they were using is a steward did this, steward did that.
Right.
So that's actually me because I was the steward who filed that grievance. But right. Funny thing. Is I keep records of all my grievances. And looking at it, and I talked to Jonathan about it. Jonathan was told by our...
By the way, Jonathan is our executive vice president candidate, and he was also involved in the
process
in this grievance. Yeah, okay. At Formal A.
So I'm just letting everybody know, okay, that we did not win this grievance. Okay,
yeah.
And just to give you the example of why we filed that grievance is that, you know, to our case at Crossroads Post, the only mail that we get is the LMN mail, the tub mail,
yeah.
Okay? That's the only thing we get in our case. Everything else, we have to go get it ourselves.
Right, the NLM,
okay?
The nonlinear mail. Yeah.
NLM, okay? And so we have to go to the battleship to get the flats. We have to go to the hot case to get all the other missorted mail. We have to go get the hamper that has all the spurs in it because it was not separated out. So we have to go and get it all the time. Okay, so I filed the grievance saying, hey, we're not getting 80% of the mail to our case. And secondly, because we have a sorting machine at our station, and we're supposed to have parcels and spurs separated, and it's that's not happening. So that's not happening. And so being of the grievances that we wanted the parcels and spurs separated, and then management complained as well, the machine doesn't do that. I'm like, well, but the... M39, M40, we're supposed to have it separated, so you guys got to figure that out. I don't care how you separate it, but you guys have to figure that out. And that was basically the main grievance, okay?
Right, like having a machine doesn't relieve you of your obligations under the manual.
Right,
under Article 19.
But the main grievance we filed was saying we're not receiving 80% of our mail to our case, okay? And on that hamper, the management also gives you instructions that's always different every time what to do with it, because there is no actual instruction what to do with that mail because it's a brand new thing.
And I
wanted a clarity with this grievance from our upper union and next step is to make a decision what to do with all this mail. Well, it came back saying it was not resolved. Well, grievance resolved, saying the union did not proof our case.
Okay.
Which my proof was that I did go to talk to probably about 20, 30 carriers and how they get their mail. Every single one of them said, we don't get any mail to our case. We have to go get it. Okay. And so that was a statement I got from all the carriers at my station. And that was my proof that all the statements from the carriers.
Okay.
Now, obviously, management is not going to agree to at my station. So he went up to another level. And Jonathan got it. And he's doing the formal A down at the hall. So now after we got the results saying that we didn't give enough proof, I asked Jonathan what happened because they're roasting us in our store meeting. So Jonathan's answer is, well, I got basically threatened by Paul and their team saying that if we make this grievance happen, that we're going to start working around 10 o'clock in the morning. And he felt that that would not be not a benefit for us.
Right, they're going to use it as an excuse.
So it was a scare tactic by Paul, so that basically probably Jonathan to fail at this grievance, so that this grievance won't go through.
Right.
Okay. And so he changed the words that I put as the issue statement. He changed that words to make it basic.
Right.
And then of course that was the first thing they brought at the store meeting. Saying they look at the issue statement, they didn't talk about what was wrong.
Right, so they're trying to criticize you for writing an issue statement that was ineffective, and it wasn't even your issue statement.
Mine. Perfect. Okay.
And that's what makes this a smear campaign, as opposed to like legitimate criticisms of the things people are doing, because it's not like we never make mistakes, it's not like we never mess up, but they're essentially manufacturing things that are not true to try to make you look bad.
Okay, so... But here's the funny thing, too, is we've been trying to, at my station, me and Jonathan, because they changed the starting times to 8:30, so we've been trying to get the starting times to go back because it's the middle of summer, and they changed that a week before when it had 125-degree weather in Las Vegas to 8:30 and into a later start, so we're out in the heat longer. So we filed that grievance, too, and it's the same president and same team that says, oh, we cannot file that grievance because management is allowed to do that. And we kept saying that's not why we're filing, saying they can do that. We're filing it because it's not safe for the carriers. It's the same team who did that. But anyway.
And no, I'm going to add on to that because management's already doing it. And so if you don't file the grievance, they just keep on doing it. You stay at 8:30.
Yeah.
You got to at least fight to try to get it back because losing is the same thing that's already happening now. There's no downside to fighting it.
Yes. Okay. So anyway, Jonathan was worried that they might change the starting time to 10 o'clock because he was told by our current president saying that he may change to 10 o'clock. So he changed the things on it that I wrote up. And then, of course, management didn't settle on it, and he went to step B. And oh, my gosh, the settlement that I saw, what they put together was they even changed what Jonathan put together.
Right.
Okay, so it was not even the same grievance.
Dude.
Okay, and of course they didn't resolve it. And I'm looking at it, and it has not. If you look at it to where I filed, it's like a completely different thing.
Right.
Okay.
Okay. So that's
Of course it's not going to get resolved.
Right. Okay. So I'm also on the ass end of a smear campaign because I have had so many carriers come up to me and ask me at my station or call me and say, hey, I heard you got fired from being a steward because you let somebody's discipline go untimely. Dude, news to me. I never heard of this, but somehow this rumor got started. And no, let me set the record straight. I'm still an active steward. There's no discipline that I'm aware of that went untimely, unless it was by virtue of the carrier never giving me the discipline, which that has happened a couple of times. But you know, as a steward, like, management doesn't hand it to us. They give it to the carrier, and then the carrier gives it to us. So if it comes in and I'm not there, you got to give it to me. But But no, I am still an active steward, and it's an attempt to undermine my credibility. And it's not true. And, dude, there are things that I expected to deal with in the campaign. There are flaws that I have that I expect to be held accountable for. If you listen to this podcast enough, you know all the stupid stuff that I do and my, you know, mental lack of awareness sometimes and things like that. But just outright smears, I don't know, like I expect well, better of people.
So here's where that I believe that should happen, okay? I don't mind if people want to talk about my grievances because it didn't get a good resolve, okay? I don't mind having people talk about it, okay? And the thing about it is because it's a learning experience. Because if you don't fail, you'll never learn how to do it better the next time.
Oh, absolutely.
Okay? So this is a learning experience.
Yeah.
But instead, during the steward training, we're going over and saying, hey, how can we improve to make this grievance work better the next time?
Right.
Okay?
Dude.
If they did some research, they would have found that things got changed from formula A to step B.
Right.
They did some research, they would have seen that it changed from steward to the formal A, yeah. And they could have seen it where it went wrong, maybe knew how to fix it. But no, that was that's not what it was all about.
I know one of the complaints was that, like, with your grievance that they used to try to smear you, was that, like, at the step B level, like, they didn't really even understand what the issue was. Well, that's why your phone number is on the 8190, so that they can call you and ask you. Did they ever do that?
Nope, never did.
Imagine that. Isn't that something? Yeah. But you hear on, like, ADA arbitration that he will call the people involved and interview them and make sure that everybody's on the same page. That's just part of doing a good job as a leader. So why do these smears happen? Well, I am of the opinion that they're resorting to these smears because our opponents who have mailed their advertisement materials to people's houses now, you know what's not on there? Platforms. Well, like what they actually plan to do. And we have a platform. We had a whole episode devoted to our platform.
And it was an hour long.
Yeah. Yeah. And there's still other stuff that, like, we had to kind of cut it down and make sure, you know, that we made it approachable. There's no platform at all on this other literature. Like, one of them, it's only the front page. They didn't even bother to use the backside of the page. And on ours, like, I had to use the smallest possible font that was still readable. And I still had to cut stuff out of, like, what we're planning to do. So I guess if you have no ideas, then you just resort to smears. So they must be happy with the status quo, if that's what they're running. You know, if they're not saying, like, hey, this is the change I want to bring to the branch, and this is what I want to do, and this is what needs fixing, they must be happy with the status quo, or they got no ideas of their own. And it's hard for me to imagine. So as we're recording this, the tentative agreement just came out, and you will have probably already heard our tentative agreement podcast, but it's hard to imagine anybody right now who is happy with the status quo. And here's our opponents just mailing out. You know what was in their materials? Just their biographies. That's it. Michael, how much money do you think they spent to mail those out?
Well, here's the thing is, if you pay for postage, it's 78 cents of postage. And,
right. You got to just put it. It's not like we're getting a bulk rate.
And there's approximately 2,000 members.
Right.
That's about $1,500.
Right. Plus the materials, the printing. So,
right.
Yeah. So you were looking at least $2,000
right.
to mail all this stuff
But they
out.
Have about a dozen people on their ticket.
Yeah. So maybe it's divided up. I don't know.
Right.
But yeah, that's a lot of money to spend to really just introduce yourself. But have no ideas to go with it. So look, when this when the election results come in a couple of weeks, then we'll have a sense of go ahead.
Just to give you know, they also do make more money than us too.
Yeah.
Okay. So so they probably have some more money to do it. And here's a funny thing too, is if you look at the flyer that you got from Paul.
Oh.
Okay. Did you not notice that it's the same printing company that was used for our ballots?
I didn't notice that, actually. But there may be a very limited number of, like, union printing companies. That
well, that's true. But I thought it's strange that it's coming from the same ballot. The same company that messed up the order or something.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah.
Maybe because maybe they were instructed not to put those bulk rate stamp on it?
Right. I don't know. I don't know.
Using this company. I mean, our branch, it looks like it's a big money that they just made.
Yeah, dude. What a mess.
Okay.
So
I'm supposing here. It is not. There's no proof.
Right. Yeah. We don't know what went where in the process things got messed up. All we know is that once again, our branch makes an error, and I will use quotes around the word error, that favors the incumbents. Isn't that wild how that seems to work out? So this is why Michael and Jonathan and I are running, because that status quo has to change. It is not satisfactory. And it's not giving a shit about this book, about the bylaws, about not even having bylaws available to the members. It's about people needing to feel welcome at the union hall. It's about people who want to contribute to the branch feeling encouraged, feeling welcome, that their questions and their input should be encouraged. All of this stuff needs to change. I want to tell a brief story here. When I was kicked out of the Carrier Academy, I started doing all of my own research because I wasn't getting a lot of support. I was getting no support from the local branch, which it turns out it was this alternative dispute resolution. They couldn't help a lot anyway with like filing a grievance because there is no grievance, but they could have helped me with preparation, steering me the right direction. So I did all this stuff on my own. I got my own manuals. I figured out the rules myself. I did all this stuff. And as I'm doing this, I'm thinking to myself, man, they're going to see like that I'm dogging and I'm doing this research and I'm putting in the legwork and I'm going to get embraced and this might really increase my profile in a branch. And nope, absolutely not. They had no interest in turning all of these powers to the branch's benefit. I was given the cold shoulder. And man, that's going to change when Michael gets in, when I get in. If you are enthusiastic and you want to help the branch, welcome. Welcome. All right, so what else do we have on here about the other team? I mean, we've already talked about how the Peterman team is full of retirees, and these are people who are out of touch with what's going on the workroom floor. And that's, you know, when we have votes at the branch, when we had votes at the convention, those are the people who were voting against this rank-and-file reform movement. These are people who are happy with the status quo. They would have to be, or they wouldn't be on his ticket. And it's madness. We have to get those people out. And then we touched on this briefly, but I want to highlight it here. The two people who are in charge of the branch's finances in filing our LM3, I know we talked about this on another episode, but I don't know when it's going to come out. The president and the treasurer. And so who are the watchdogs for those people? Michael, who are their watchdogs?
Trustees.
The trustees, that's right. And so we have the president, his girlfriend is running as one of the trustees.
Oh, I'm sorry, but she's currently a trustee also right now.
She's also now a trustee, which might be part of the problem. I mean, look, I don't know. For all I know, I mean, I've looked some at the branch finances when I met with the treasurer, and it looked to me like she was doing a good job. You know, I didn't see any impropriety. But I don't know.
No, when you say it's a good job, that could be the current treasurer who's doing a good job.
Yeah, the treasurer was doing a good job. Yeah, that's true. Yeah, I don't know because I was only looking. Annie just jumped up into a lap because she is sweet. Now she's right up next to the microphone. Maybe you'll hear her sniffing. All right, so anyway, yeah, I only saw very limited stuff. I was just looking at the credit cards, and those charges seemed like they were on the up and up, and I'm going to give full credit to the
Do you know how many credit cards the branch has?
Three.
Okay.
Yeah, there's like two credit and one debit or something like that. And they're on the statements. So I only looked at the main credit card. Annie is stealing the show here. All right, so anyway. So yeah, one of the trustees is the president's girlfriend. And then the other person who's important is the treasurer. Another trustee is the treasurer's wife.
Well, so currently the treasurer that's going to be acclimated to be the treasurer.
Oh, yeah, the treasurer elect's wife.
He is right now currently the trustee for our branch.
Right,
With his wife as our trustee.
You're right. Okay? It's the treasurer elect.
So you know what's funny about that?
Yeah.
Is did you look at our branch website lately?
Well, I don't even need to get into that because the literature they sent out themselves didn't show either of those two relationships.
Right.
It did not show the girlfriend on the list of trustees.
Oh, really?
And it did not show the treasurer on the list of elected officials. So if you were just looking...
So their purpose is trying to hide that information, huh?
If you were just looking at their literature, you would never know that those two relationships existed. Mm-hmm. Isn't that wild?
Yeah.
And so you could make the argument. Let's steel man them. Annie is very much having fun now. Let's steel man them and say that, oh, they didn't bother to put the treasurer on there because he won by acclamation. And so he's technically not even running. But they have their secretary on there, and he also won by acclamation. So no, that can't be it.
Mm-hmm.
And you could say, well, maybe the trustee who's the girlfriend, maybe she's on the outs, and that's why she's not listed on the list of trustees. But they have a picture of their whole ticket all together. She's in that picture. And so, no, I think you're exactly right, Michael, that they know that this is a bad look, and they're just hiding it.
Yes.
Yep. So... that's who we're up against. Those are our opponents, and we will know in a couple of weeks from when we record this. Hey, go ahead.
I just want to add something.
Please, please.
Why are they hiding that stuff?
Because they know that it's...
but I can understand that the appearance-wise, it may look bad. Yeah. But why? Because it really looks bad.
It does.
Okay?
Yeah.
So what's the whole purpose of trying to hide it? Is
go
it
ahead.
Maybe the... something to do with money, with the finances? Is that something to do with maybe going out for a vacation, conventions? What is it?
We don't know.
We don't know, but why is this happening, you know? Because our branch is supposed to be trustworthy enough.
Right.
But when you have these people who's not going to watch them and they hold them accountable,
right?
Then what is going on here?
Yeah,
okay,
that's right.
So for me, if I was not running and I'm just looking at that, I will not trust them at all.
That's right. Yeah, if I needed somebody to verify that I'm doing the right things, you know, asking my wife, that's not... I mean, if you ask my wife, she'll tell you about my failings. She is not shy about that. But, like, that does not give the impression of accountability. You know, and how can we have... like, these are people who are already in a leadership position. They have, presumably, relationships at every station, relationships all through the union... and with like 2,000 people to choose from, they choose their own spouses to be their watchdogs. The foxes are guarding the hen house. That's what's happening here. And you know that ain't going to be the case with Michael and me because we're not even running our own trustees because we actually want accountability.
So here's the thing. Our branch is one of the largest branch in the nation, okay? So because we have so many members, we do get a lot of money from all the dues that we get.
Yeah.
Okay? And so when you see all this money that's seen, and then you see this thing's going on, it looks very suspicious because of the so much money that's involved.
Yeah, okay? And there may not be any impropriety,
yeah.
But that's part of the problem. We don't
know.
Yeah.
And we just want, we need people to hold them accountable and... it's just the way that's set up right now. It's just that I'm stuttering because I'm so angry and fired up of what's happening with our branch.
And
it seems like they still want to keep on doing it for this next election.
Right. And I think that's part of the reason that so many people ran for trustee is because other people are seeing the same thing as us. And they're like, well, somebody who's honest has to get their head in there and look at these books. Somebody else has to be involved in this process. And so, yeah.
So there's 11 people that's running for trustees, okay?
Annie found a ball with a squeaker in it.
Yeah. So anyway, there's 11 people that's running for trustee, okay?
Yeah.
There's 5 from Paul's team, and there's 5 from Ladina's team.
Uh-huh.
But wait, the math doesn't come out right, does it?
No, that's true.
That's 5 means 10, but why is there 11?
I haven't thought about the. I'm going to learn this at the same time.
I'm going to tell you right now.
All right.
The 11th person is Joe Lewis, who kisses Paul's ass all the time.
I'm not familiar with him.
Okay. He kisses Paul's ass all the time.
Okay.
So is he really the 6th person, or is that 6th person for Paul?
It's just another person on that ticket.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe. But I don't know, dude, because like the person who designed our campaign website for us is also on his ticket as a trustee. So, I don't know. Go ahead.
So, his dad was an APW president.
Okay.
But here's the thing. When Lori was running, filed charges against Paul, and they had that committee to check on the charge against Paul, and Joe Lewis was involved with that committee.
Okay.
And the way he actually mentioned it, when he interviewed me, he automatically blamed it on me, which I'm not the one being charged, before they figured out any proof of what happened.
Good times. All right, guys.
And he was mentioning stuff that only Paul knew about. So the only way I knew of that is that he was already talking to Paul before the
All
charge
right.
was done.
Oh, there you go.
And that's how I know he knows is for Paul.
So, guys, this is what we're up against. This is why we're running. This is how it's going. We got impropriety. We got smears. Ah, the joys of for an office that pays at step P. You know, all this stuff for an office that pays at step P. So, in a couple of weeks, we'll have an episode, let you know how it went. And when we hear back about, you know, an official decision from somebody higher up than our current, you know, we're following the steps. This book also says what you should do if you think there's impropriety or you think there needs to be an appeal. And the first thing to do is go to the election commission or the election committee in your own branch. Well, we've already done that. Oh, dude. Oh, because you got to hear the election committee chairperson's intended solution because to me the solution is fairly obvious. Well, you're going to have to send out envelopes that have postage on them. You just got to remail to everybody so that they have postage. What was his solution, Michael?
Reimbursement. He's saying that people would put the postage on themselves and come to the branch and get reimbursed for that 78 cents.
Oh my God. So the problem is already that we're putting additional steps in the way, which holds down turnout, and the solution is to put even more steps in the way. It's perfect. It's almost like they want turnout to be held down. You know, in 2021, there were elections for branch officers in Branch 2502. And as I recall, nobody ran against our primary officers, and so they all got elected by acclamation. They all got acclaimed, you know, appointed. And so there were, how many votes were cast in that election?
Zero.
Zero. And they all won, and everything went great for the incumbents. So it looks like they're trying to get as close as they can to repeating that outcome. And I am not here for it. So that's what's going on, guys. Oh, dude. Thank you guys so much for listening. Michael, thank you for coming on. And we're going to keep you guys posted. Keep fighting that good fight. All right, Mike. Thanks, man.
Sure.
All right.
Next time.
You.